This is an important season of the church year, an important time for us to be together and consider God's word. And so let us pray and ask that God would enlighten us with truth and that the Spirit of God would be real to each of us and that we would come away from this time understanding that God has a word for us and that we have been claimed by the good news that we hear. Let us pray. Almighty God, in this season of the year, we ask that you would enable us to be still long enough to hear your still small voice coming through not only the songs we sing, not only the spirit of this time and place, but your word made real in Jesus Christ, and your word revealed to us through his words to us. We thank you, Lord, for the expectation of this first Sunday and for the hope that it embodies. We're grateful for those who helped create this beautiful chrismon tree and decorated it and set up this Advent wreath and decorated this worship center with images that remind us that your love is everlasting, that your steadfast love endures always. Now we ask that you open wide our minds and hearts to your truth, that we might hear what you are saying to the church and to us today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture is a select passage from one of the chapters in Luke that focuses on the end of the world. You may know that the book of Revelation is an apocalypse. An apocalyptic literature is literature that reveals something that's yet to be discovered. And so some have called these passages in the Gospel of Luke, particularly this chapter, apocalyptic literature. And it reflects on other books in the scripture, like Daniel. Daniel is an apocalyptic Old Testament prophet. And so this morning, hear the word of God from Luke chapter 21. Jesus is in the temple, saying some rather important things to those who will hear. The word of the Lord. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, as you're sitting in your seats, do you see the word that is on the banner over the keyboard? It's says, come. It's important that you see that. This is not an invitation to worship. It's not calling to mind the Christmas carol, O come all you faithful. This is a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. And the early church prayed, Maranatha. Literally, come, Lord Jesus. And if you read some of the last verses of the book of Revelation, you will read, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So this is not come, all ye faithful, come to worship. This word is inviting Jesus to come with his kingdom. Now, you may wonder why we are reading words like this here at the beginning of December. Why can't we find some better way to prepare for the worship of the Christ child? Can't we come up with something a little more cheerful on the Sundays following Thanksgiving than the passage we just read? Well, just as I said, here at Meadow Lake, we recognize the season of Advent. And if we decide this is Advent, then we listen to what the season and the scriptures of Advent are saying to us about the life of faith. Now, many of you may know that the Latin word advenio means coming. And Advent is about the coming of Christ, not only his birth, but his coming again. And we pray every Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray for the coming of our Savior and his kingdom on earth. And right now, we begin this season by reminding ourselves that one day this is going to happen. And the good news is, there is a new world coming. And if we're vigilant and prepared, we will not sleep through something important. Tertullian, a church father in the first century that I learned about in seminary, wrote about these things 1900 years ago. Jürgen Moltmann is a German theology reformed German professor of theology who wrote a number of books back in the 1970s and 80s and 90s about the very same thing. Tertullian wrote, the kingdom of God is beginning to be at hand, the reward of life and the rejoicing of eternal salvation and the perpetual gladness are now coming with the passing away of the world. Jürgen Moltmann, reformed theologian in the 1970s, wrote about his book. With theology of hope, I tried to present Christian hope no longer as an opium of the beyond, but rather as the divine power that makes us alive in this world. Now, the writing is a little jumbled up there, but I want to emphasize this morning the divine power that makes us alive in this world. So the subject today is not a reading about heaven and eternity as an opium of the beyond, or as some might say, pie in the sky by and by. The concern is the divine power working in your life and in my life that makes us alive in Jesus Christ. Now, that's why we are reading these words this morning. That's why I chose this passage for this day. I know that you and I can get drunk on the wrong priorities. You and I can lapse into not caring about things that are eternally vital. And we can use our own escape methods to lose sight of what God is doing here and now. And so this morning, here is what Jesus is saying to us in our reading. Watch this and do this. Watch this and do this. Watch this and get a sense of the times we're in. Do this and keep yourselves awake. And we begin with watch this. According to Luke, he had been saying a number of things like this in the temple. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Jesus said this in the temple. He also said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Pay attention. Watch this. And then he says, look at the natural world, the sun, the moon, the stars. Look at people fainting because they're scared to death. Look at the Son of Man coming in a cloud with powers and great glory. Jesus is quoting from Daniel, this apocalyptic prophet, about a time yet to be revealed. And so an apocalypse always reveals what is hidden. Jesus is saying, watch this, look at this, pay attention at the time we're in right now. Now, what does this say to you and me? Right now, we have an earth that is screaming out for our attention. We have extremes in the weather like we've never known. And we have leaders now in Washington and Raleigh who say that global warming is not a reality. It's only a silly liberal trick to get some of us focused on the wrong things. Our own government has people who are bowing to our authoritarian rule. There are people in Washington who tend to think that the world's dictators really are good people who are strong and appropriately powerful. We have a world economy that is being shaken in ways we have never seen before. We have people in this church who are looking around at where we are right now as a congregation and are very concerned. If you don't know that, you should. Some of you have approached me and some haven't. There is a fear that as a church, we may be sticking our heads in the sand. We're not responding quickly enough to what is going on. The future of the church, some would believe, some who are sitting among us today believe that the future of this church is imperiled. Now, no one has said this in so many words, but it's their message. And Jesus is offering a word for us to offer us hope in this. He then tells about the fig tree and all the trees, and he reminds people that when the leaves on the trees are green, you know what that means. Summer is near. Similarly, when certain things are happening, it is not a moment to go do something else. It's a moment to stay awake, a moment to pay attention. And if this doesn't get our attention, what are we doing right now? Never have I known on the first Sunday in Advent words that are more appropriate for a congregation than what I'm seeing and reading and hearing in Luke 21. For us today. So the first move is, watch this. If you read Luke 21, Jesus says, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, watch this. The second move is like it. He says, do this. Be on your guard. Be careful. Watch yourselves. Those are all recent translations of the same word. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping and work and life. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, suddenly, like a trap. And another says, your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. And the anxieties of this life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. All of us have certain anxieties. And we don't share those with people. We just live with them. We're talking about a new world coming. That's the good news of Luke 21. We're talking about a time when Jesus will come back once and for all. And until then, we are called to stay awake. Actually, we're called to read the scriptures and to believe in Jesus and to anticipate his coming, even though we're not sure where he is or what time it is in this time scheme. And to focus on what God has given us to do for the time being, we're being called to pay attention and stay awake and do this. Just now, there are a number of people in our church who are worried that we are complacent as a congregation. We've had an energetic lay pastor who's tended to have his hand in everything, and he's gone. And now I am the interim pastor, and I'm more relaxed. Okay, so everyone take a deep breath. And I hear some people saying that we're not just taking a deep breath, we're going to sleep. There's some people who are worried that as a church, we're going to sleep. We're not aware of the importance of this moment. So what are we talking about? We're talking about work and family and life being a higher priority than our relationship with God. We're talking about our tendency to be taken away from the call to be the church of Jesus Christ. We're talking about our first love, seeking first the kingdom of God, remembering who loved us first, focusing again on first things. One teacher I had while studying in Atlanta told us, some of us, about the time he was serving a church in Appalachia. The Tennessee Valley Authority had brought in people from around the country, and the board of the little church decided that you had to live in that county at least 1 year before joining. And there were people there from all over the country, and the board said, we want them to come to church, and they have to live, be residents for at least a year before they come to the church. The pastor opposed the idea because he believed if people were believing Christians, they should have the opportunity to come in immediately. Come and be involved in the life of the church with us. Probably some of those people felt that there was an obstruction in their way. Well, the pastor's time ended in the church. And 5 years later, he and his wife were vacationing in the area, and they drove by. And the church had become the barbecue hut. And the parking lot was full of cars. And he told his wife they should go in. And first thing they noticed, where the choir used to be, there was a place to get soft drinks and tea and coffee. And the place where the pulpit stood was an open grill with pork shoulders turning on a spit over a fire. Boy, did it smell good, too. And he said the amazing thing was that there were tables all around the room with people from all over the country. The room was full of people. And there they were. They hadn't been there before, but now there they were, enjoying barbecue. What does it take for you and me to be alive in Jesus Christ? Do this, Jesus says. Be alert at all times, praying that you will have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I cannot speak for everyone here about what it is that you do individually to keep you alert to God being present in this world. And some might say we're to work hard at connecting our spiritual gifts with the needs of our area. Some might say we're to get busy doing the things that we know to do already, like room at the inn. Fortunately, some elders have gotten us reconnected with that, and some of you are going to be involved at the room of the inn. Brandy has made possible again the angel tree and their opportunities for serving people in this community who need help. Giving to the glory of God in this church remains one important way we can serve God and give of ourselves. Some might say it's time we get the session to start thinking about a pastor nominating committee. Some might say it's time to start thinking about a ministry information form that we send to Louisville. Time to look more at the future and pray for us to be faithful to those tasks. It seems that Jesus is instructing his people to pray for strength to escape some difficult times ahead. And I believe it's important that we remain faithful to our prayers and our praying however we do this. To pray that God would not only allow us to escape certain things, but to be ready for certain other things. I believe we remain faithful as leaders in following through with the challenges of worship and outreach and fellowship and pastoral care and Christian education, the Come On In Challenge, and continue looking for the right people to lead our Sunday school ministry and the right person to be a director of youth. I was in a class recently, I was in a meeting recently, and someone said, youth ministry has always been powerfully an important part of the life of this church, and it's important we have the right person leading our young people again. It's important that we keep looking diligently and we pray for that person. These are all critical for our leaders, but it's also critical that we remain faithful as members by attending worship regularly, by seeing Advent as a way that we can be attentive to what God is doing and do what God is leading us to do. not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this morning, Jesus tells us, be on our guard to see where God is showing up in the world. He also says to pray, to keep alert, to escape difficult times, to be ready for what God has. So, watch this and do this. May God be with us as you and I devote ourselves to wake up and do what God has put in our hands to do. And may the Spirit of God keep us faithful to these things here as we pray for God's coming. You know this is true. If you don't, I want to remind you, there is a new world coming. Praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. One day, we will experience that kingdom. And until that time, we have seasons like Advent and Chrismon trees and Advent wreaths to remind us that God is already here, that we have but to hope for Jesus' coming. We have but to pray, come, Lord Jesus. And let us be awake, aware of what you're doing in the world, so that we may be prepared for whatever may come. Amen. Watch this and do this. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you this day for Chrismon trees and Advent wreaths and for a season that invites us to wake up and not be lured into the anxieties of this world, to be worried and concerned and pulled away from our first love, pulled away from seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, pulled away from realizing that you loved us first, pulled away from making first things first. Lord, on this first Sunday in Advent, fill us with hope, not with fear, not with anxiety. Help us all to get busy doing the things that keep us alive in you. Teach us again to pray, and teach us to pray and work to the end that we anticipate all the good things you will have for us these days and always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.